The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We are going to jump right into our impact segment, which begins each hour. 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. On the program today, we'll save, I won't even say the best for last. This is one of many stories. We'll talk a little bit about a little press conference that happened earlier today in a moment. Update on our governor. By the way, I guess he threw another edict out there earlier today. I've gotten a bunch of emails. I don't know what he said. I actually don't want to know. I think many Californians should say, we've heard enough. Time for a new governor. We'll get into the latest with an audio commentary as well. An update on a little get-together in Hawaii with some California lawmakers. We've got names now. Eight of them are from the state of California the day after Governor Newsom got up there and smiled and talked about purple and don't go anywhere, don't travel. Eight California lawmakers took a little trip to a five-star Hawaiian hotel where rooms cost a minimum of $500 a night. Conference hosted by a group called Independent Voter Project. You see a theme here? Like somehow they're above us? They think they can do whatever they want, and yet the average hardworking citizen suffers because of these. How many of you listening right now, you're like, California, man, this is quite a place. Well, you know, it could be a little worse. You can live in Pennsylvania. They're now talking about mandatory mask wearing at home. It's just unbelievable. By the way, speaking of mask wearing, a virologist with a string of degrees a mile long has something to say about lockdowns and masks. You may be surprised. We'll get to that as well. And we're going to open the Bible. We're going to talk from a biblical perspective about the story we're going to jump into right now. Earlier today, former federal prosecutor Sidney Powell and Mayor Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York, also a prosecutor, had a little press conference. Sidney Powell shared this.
This is stunning, heartbreaking, infuriating, and the most unpatriotic acts I can even imagine for people in this country to have participated in any way, shape, or form. And I want the American public to know right now that we will not be intimidated. American patriots are fed up with the corruption from the local level to the highest level of our government, and we are going to take this country back. We are not going to be intimidated. We are not going to back down. We are going to clean this mess up now. President Trump won by a landslide. We are going to prove it, and we are going to reclaim the United States of America for the people who vote for freedom.
Sidney Powell last week said, quote, I don't make comments without having the evidence to back it up, end quote. So for those of you that may be listening and you're like, okay, I've been hearing this for a while. Where's the proof? Or you right-wingers, you just get over it. Man, it's over. You lost. We know that Joe Biden's the next president. My goodness, the media has announced it. And he even has a little stage he stands on in the back. It says President-elect Joe Biden right there. Right? The Associated Press made the announcement and others. So there it is. I'm going to read an article from the Intelligencer. It's a left publication, a guy named Ed Kilgore. And I wanted to just listen closely to to the tone in which he presents his observation of what happened earlier, and we got more audio, but just there's this underlying, oh, this cynicism or the sense of mockery. Like, who are these people to throw out these false allegations? And they also take a shot at Giuliani because evidently it was hot and he dyes his hair and there's a, he had some dye running down his cheek. They take a shot at him. Oh my, yeah, I'm sure he's the first man that dyes his hair, right? Like that has anything to do with anything. But let me read a little bit of the tone of this piece. When the Trump campaign announced a noon press conference today, there was some speculation that it might signal an end to the president's doomed effort to challenge his election defeat. That might have seemed rational, since Team Trump and its subordinate allies have again and again struck out in court all over the country in efforts to even raise the remote possibility that there was enough fraud to change the outcome. And with state certifications of the results on the very near horizon, it's about the only thing he says that's true. I think that's December 8th or 10th, maybe even the 14th. There's no question Republicans were privately whispering to the president and his staff, it's time to end the circus and move along. Yeah, okay. Boy, were we wrong, he says. In an interminable press conference, Trump's legal team upped the ante by about 1,000,000%, alleging a massive national conspiracy. And that the president clearly won by a landslide, said Trump attorney Sidney Powell. Did you hear that one?
A lot of the analysis comes from the real-time data that came through to the news medias the night and following the election. And some entrepreneurs out there have started crunching data themselves, in addition to multiple experts who could easily recognize, with the mathematical brain that I do not have, the beyond explicable deviations to the point of mathematical impossibility that 186,000 votes come in at once, all for Joe Biden. That's like flipping a coin 186,000 times and it lands on the same, it lands on heads every time. That does not happen. There is no reasonable explanation for the upshoots, the straight lines up. I'm not even talking about an angle. I'm talking about some massive straight lines up in the vote tallies in the middle of the night after they've supposedly stopped counting. And that's when the Dominion operators went in and injected votes and changed the whole system. And it affects votes around the country, around the world, and all kinds of massive interests of globalist dictators, corporations, you name it. Everybody's against us except President Trump and we the people of the United States of America.
Everybody laughs. It's a yuck fest. One last one.
Americans should be astonished at what you're saying here today. Is the country on the verge of an electoral breakdown?
We've already had it. We have already had that electoral breakdown. But the Constitution, as Jenna explains, has provisions in it for how you fix this. And there should never be another election conducted in this country. I don't care if it's for local dog catcher using a Dominion machine and Smartmatic software. We have got to have an American company that uses paper ballots that we can all verify so every one of us can see that our vote is our vote.
So the last point of this piece by Ed Kilgore from The Intelligencer, taking a shot at lawyer Rudy Giuliani, like this has anything to do with anything. But here's the piece of the commentary, and I'm reading literally. Chief lawyer Rudy Giuliani became more and more agitated at the strange event. As the strange event went on, spending most of his time attacking the reporters, symbolizing the heat of his words when his hair dye melted, leaving brown streaks down each side of his face. That's important right there. Recounting this 100-minute cascade of madness is more than I can bear, writes Ed Kilgore. But the basic idea laid out by Trump's lawyers is that they have come across vast evidence of systematic voter fraud that they can't present publicly now. But they're demanding that courts address immediately after the campaign files a battery of lawsuits tomorrow. Now, I'm in the mindset of hearing a lot of this stuff. We've got this, we've got that. Many of you have sent articles. Sure seems like there was some funny business going on. But in terms of proof and in presenting it to lawyers, and I mean, there is, I'm not a litigator, but I suspect there's a much greater onus on you to just say, hey, this is what I found out. Obviously, there's voter fraud. But doesn't it make sense? And maybe we no longer live in a world where rational thinking even comes into play. Doesn't it make common sense that say there's an accusation made against you and you absolutely know it's not true? Wouldn't you say, okay, well, I don't believe that's true, but let's go through the process? But that's not what we're hearing. We're hearing, oh, come on, get over it. It's over. Again, the media has made a big deal. They've announced Joe Biden is the next president. They're holding these press conferences and getting their team together and this and that. Even some of you have emailed me, hey, poor sport, it's over. It's been announced. And I'm like, did you not take a basic civics class in high school? Where that's not the way it works, as much as maybe you want to move on and you hate this guy. It's not the way it works. The states have to certify. The media can say, I don't know. Media can say Ronald McDonald is the next president. That doesn't mean he's the next president. So let's get out the Bible a little bit. What does God say about this kind of stuff? Now, for me, God's not missing anything. And depending on your doctrinal inclination, you may come from the idea that, oh, God loves everybody, and we need to stop the bickering, and we just need to love each other. One local pastor said this, wrote a piece, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But that's the mindset of some that profess to be a Christian, and they can maybe quote some scripture out of the Bible, but when it comes to someone else with other doctrinal leanings, they may get into a little difference of interpretation of what the Bible really says. So that's not surprising. So this idea of we need to love each other and move on and, you know, close the separation. And what about if somebody broke into your house and took, I don't know, cleaned your house out? Is the Christian thing to do, oh, well, let's just move on. I need to love that person. Is there no part of a biblical understanding what the Bible says? Forget logic. That's kind of here and gone. It's about agreement now. If you don't agree with the public narrative about any of this stuff, even COVID, you're a loon. Be quiet. Wear your mask. Shut up. Stay home. But the whole idea, if you really take a moment, yeah, we need to love each other, of course. But that doesn't mean just, okay, everything else is all good, no evil. We don't care about laws. We don't hold anybody accountable for wrongdoing. It's just every person for themselves. See how I did that? I almost said every man for himself. Oh, no, no. Be careful with your gender vocabulary these days, Frank. According to Gavin Newsom's wife, we're all persons, but I digress. We'll get to Gavin in a little while. What does the Bible say? What does God say about wrongdoing? Oh, he's coming back. Right? Revelation, he's coming back. But he loves everybody now. We're all his children. We're all going to heaven. I got out my Bible last night. I started reading scripture. Let's start with Psalms. Now, you may be driving, you may not have access to a Bible, but I'll read you a little bit and just kind of take a moment. This is God's word. Chapter 3, David, save me, O my God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. Verse 7, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. How about this scripture? For you strike all my enemies on the cheek, you break the teeth of the wicked. Huh? Oh, that's not the God of love that I know. Oh, that's right. Oh, they're Christians. That's why I can't do that Christian thing. Because it's all good. God loves everybody. Okay? Let's move on a little further. Let's go to chapter 9 of Psalm. Verse 11, sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples his deeds. Get this. For he who avenges blood is mindful of them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. What? Huh? You mean God can be a righteous God too, a judgmental God? Verse 16, the Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. Uh-oh. Chapter 10, verse 2, let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. How y'all doing out there? Those of you that email me, never mentioned the Bible. How you doing now? Chapter 10, verse 15. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. Now, do I know for a fact that there's voter fraud? Yeah, of course. Now, is there voter fraud in this last election? Undeniably, where I have not read that or heard that information. But we got some people that say we've got it. So let's hear what they have to say. Not this, oh, hey, Joe Biden's like, hey, come on now, I'm president. Me, right now. No, he's not. He's actually not president unless he is certified, and that won't be happening till maybe next month, and then the actual inauguration is near the end of January. So the current president of the United States is Donald Trump. God, I can't believe you said that. I'm so sick of him. Man, 4 years, it seems like 40 years. Have I made my point yet about Scripture and what God has to say about some stuff? Chapter 21, verse 11. Though they plan evil against you, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed. For you will put them to flight. You will aim at their faces with your bows. Just going to hug everybody. God is love. It's all good. Man, I'll tell you, I'll finish with chapter 35. I've got about 35 verses of scripture I can throw at you. I was up late last night. We can go into Revelation, we can go into Deuteronomy, we can go into Isaiah. But here, we'll stay with Psalm 35. Start with verse 22. Chapter 35, verse 22. You have seen, O Lord, be not silent. O Lord, be not far from me. Awake and rouse yourself for my vindication, for my cause, my God and my Lord. Vindicate me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, our heart's desire. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Verse 26. Is the money verse. Let them be put to shame and disappointed altogether, who rejoice at my calamity. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor, who magnify themselves against me. So let's break it down. What about evil? What about wrongdoing? What about lies? If you say you're a Christian, do you really believe God's just kind of going to sit back and not do a thing? My answer is, I don't know, but I suspect you may say, well, you know, I've been praying and I can't believe they stole the election and we want 4 more years of Trump because he's the answer. No, he's not. We're the answer. How many times have you heard, if my people will get to their knees and cry out and repent and God will heal the land and right, the whole thing. We still have abortion in our country. Third trimester abortion. Babies are born. Politicians are falling all over themselves and saying this is a great thing, specifically in New York. Christians voted for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. If you don't know their positions on abortion, you don't want to know the truth. Frank, you sound angry. Push out love, not anger. The Bible says be angry, but don't sin. There is a righteous indignation. They've already announced one of the first things they're going to do is overturn all of the pro-life legislation that the Trump administration pushed through over the last 4 years. We're all going to be held accountable one day. I don't know. I'm not going to stand in front of God one day, and he's at least not going to say, why are you silent on the killing of my children, of the unborn? I ain't going to be that person. I did that enough in my early life. I've repented of that. To me, the most important issue is the sanctity of life. And you can call me with the, what about the womb to the tomb? We can get into that too. But what about babies being aborted and we say nothing and we vote for politicians? As Christians, that this is their platform. What is wrong with us? What about willful self-deception? We're going to get into that on the other side. What's the Bible say about that? We have open phones as well, 888-528-2557. You can email me at the usual places as well, franksontag@kkla.com, franksontag@kprz.com. Later in the hour, we're going to talk about our governor, too, that suave, handsome dude who is sorry and has apologized. I got caught. I'm sorry. Practice what I preach, but you, my little minions, you peasants, you will abide by my purple code, and I will not even acknowledge and do what I say, right? Not as I do. And the people one day are going to wake up and they're going to say, we've had enough. Open lines, 888-528-2557. More of this, the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. If you missed it earlier today, Sidney Powell made an announcement at a press conference that President Trump won by a landslide and that they are going to be able to prove it.
This is stunning, heartbreaking, infuriating, and the most unpatriotic acts I can even imagine for people in this country to have participated in any way, shape, or form. And I want the American public to know right now that we will not be intimidated. American patriots are fed up with the corruption from the local level to the highest level of our government. And we are going to take this country back. We are not going to be intimidated. We are not going to back down. We are going to clean this mess up now. President Trump won by a landslide. We are going to prove it. And we are going to reclaim the United States of America for the people who vote for freedom.
Quite a hefty accusation. We will see what is to come. She did say patriots are fed up. Are you fed up with our governor? I mean, just it wasn't that long ago when somehow the San Francisco Chronicle blew the whistle on him at his little birthday party. Right? You know about the story. You have to. Please. Here's a little intelligent commentary by Michael Knowles, who I like a lot.
Gavin Newsom broke his own mandates. He broke his own lockdown rules. He told everyone, you can't go out, you can't go to restaurants, wear the mask all the time. He shows up to his buddy's birthday party at French Laundry, which is an extraordinarily expensive Michelin-rated restaurant. Something like $350 or $400 a plate. I looked, if you want to add the ricotta gnocchi, a little dish of ricotta gnocchi, it's like a $150 upcharge. Okay? It is, it's a nice restaurant. And Gavin Newsom didn't want to miss out on this party, so he goes, and he thought the cameras were off, and he got caught. Just like so many leftists have. Nancy Pelosi goes and gets her hair cut. All these other guys. Chris Cuomo goes on a run in the Hamptons when he pretends that he's holding up in his basement. And he's going on a run. He's going on a bike ride. He gets into a fight with a guy. They're all just lying to you, all of these people. And then he gets caught, and he makes an apology that I was listening very carefully. And for the first almost minute of it, I couldn't discern any actual apology.
A few weeks ago, I was asked to go to a friend's 50th birthday. My wife and I, a friend that I've known for almost 20 years and a friend that had, well, put a lot of time and energy into his 50th birthday. It was in Napa, which was in the orange status, relatively loose compared to some other counties. It was to be an outdoor restaurant, and we started the program started at 4 o'clock. It was one of those early reservations. I got there a little bit late at 4:30, and as soon as I sat down at the larger table, I realized it was a little larger group than I had anticipated, and I made a bad mistake.
Okay, hold on. There it is. What was the time? What time did you have? I had 44 seconds of excuses before he even started to intimate that he had done anything wrong. Which, by the way, he didn't ultimately say. He said, I made a mistake. But he didn't make a mistake. He chose to violate his own orders. He chose to be a giant hypocrite. He chose to go to his buddy's birthday party at the really nice restaurant. So it's not a mistake. It's not an accident. Like, whoopsie daisy. Oh, no, the French Laundry fell down in front of me. I guess I'll eat the ricotta gnocchi. Whoops. Oh, no. Oh, my mouth is open and the delicious ricotta gnocchi are falling in. No, you chose to go. And you then give 44 seconds. Look, my friend, we've been friends for a long time. So that, you know, that makes it okay. And look, he put a lot of time and effort into his birthday. Not like your idiot friends. I mean, you're lazy, stupid friends. They wouldn't. And by the way, your friends couldn't even afford the French Laundry. So you don't really, it's just different. You don't really get it. So I got there. I got there a little bit late. You know, I'm pretty busy. I'm the governor and everything. And I saw, look, there are a few more people. But it's like, come on, it's my buddy's birthday and I want to do it. And I'm the ruler of California. And I don't have to play by the same rules that I make everybody else follow. You know, I made a mistake. So then he explains his mistake.
Instead of sitting down, I should have stood up and walked back, got in my car, and drove back to my house. Instead, I chose to sit there with my wife and a number of other couples that were outside the household. You can quibble about the guidelines, et cetera, but the spirit of what I'm preaching all the time was contradicted, and I got to own that. And so I want to apologize to you.
Hold on, stop it. No, so you're not apologizing at all. Because even when you say, I made a mistake, which is not true, it wasn't a mistake, it was very intentional. You say, look, and we get there, and I was sitting there with some people, and look, really, I mean, you could quibble about the guidelines, because like, see, actually, I didn't really violate them, I think. I mean, but look, we can quibble. Okay, you can have your view, I can have my view, we'll agree to disagree. No, you can't quibble, buddy. You broke the rules. You had the rules that said you couldn't go to that restaurant with all those many people all together from different households. You made those rules, and then you broke them. So I'm not going to quibble about anything. You just want to hold your constituents to a completely different standard than you will hold yourself to because you wanted those delicious gnocchi at French Laundry. No quibbling whatsoever. He says, yeah, I shouldn't. Look, okay, and so I apologize. Good, apologize. Please, give me the apology. Are we going to get an apology?
I need to preach and practice, not just preach and not practice. And I've done my best to do that. We're all human. We all fall short sometimes. We've been out, I think, for three times since. In fact, I know it's been three times because I remember all of those dinners very, very vividly since February, just three times. Twice with my wife by myself outdoors, and then this one occasion with a larger group. And there were just a few extra people there than the spirit of what I am promoting.
Oh, it's not even an apology. You're just trying to get ahead of the story that's inevitably going to come out that you've broken your own guidelines other times as well. That's what this is about. He goes, yeah, and look, okay, I did it. I made a mistake. I've done it a couple other times too. What was that, Governor Newsom? No, it's really, I'm going to keep smiling. And it's all, look, it's kind of a big misunderstanding. But yeah, for a while now, I've been disregarding the rules that I'm making you all follow. And I know that maybe there's a chance some journalist is going to cover this. So, because the Sacramento Bee is really angry at me. So yeah, I've done it a few times. But look, hey, you know, everyone makes mistakes. Okay, can we move on? Can we move past this, please? Ha, ha, ha. And I think I still am waiting for the real apology to come in. And he just closes his message to the people smiling.
And so if we're going to minimize mixing, you got to own up to that. So I just want folks to know that paid for our dinner. And we had an early dinner, but didn't matter. I shouldn't have been there. I should have turned back around. And so when that happens, you pay the price, but you also own the mistake and you don't ever make it again. And you have my word on that.
And you have my word. Okay, you got to pay the price. I don't. I'm not going to pay any price. And I'm not even really admitting I did anything wrong. It was an early dinner. You know, it wasn't a late dinner. And I paid my way, by the way. Hey, if any of you ethics researchers are looking into this, I paid for my dinner, even though there were definitely lobbyists there. But anyway, it's all a big misunderstanding. You got to take ownership, which I will never, ever do. I'm Governor Newsom. Goodbye.
Michael Knowles. Few other points that Michael Knowles, one he alluded to. Do you know that Governor Newsom sat with top medical lobbyists from our state representing more than 50,000 doctors? They said, well, we followed all the protocol. Well, actually, they didn't. They broke more guidelines, flat out lied about those too. Sat next to people from a medical group you think they should have known better. They represent 50,000 medical doctors. You know, the gods of today where you hear over and over again. The left portray one part of the medical perspective on this virus. Not other disagreements, not other scientists. But he's sitting there with a bunch of lobbyists, of all things, saying we sat indoors. No, you didn't. People at the restaurant said they had to close the sliding doors because you were so loud. It's unbelievable. Oh, yeah, we were wearing masks. No, you weren't. So what do we do? Does he really think he's going to get away with any of this? And why are you so adamant, Frank? That's not biblical, right? He asks for forgiveness. We forgive and we move on and we love him anyway. Never heard of James Gallagher. He's a Republican Christian from Yuba City up north. Quote, the governor and state bureaucrats can color code counties and change rules as they go, but the basics remain the same. We are all free people who can exercise our freedom responsibly. End quote. Pay special attention to the next three sentences. The government can only take what you let them, and I don't think you should close your business, church, or school. I would encourage you to keep them open. I don't think you need to cancel Thanksgiving. He went on to say, we're all responsible adults. We can decide what risks are acceptable. Protect those that are vulnerable. But in no uncertain terms, he's calling for, hey, we should practice civil disobedience. Don't put up with it. Senate Minority Leader Shannon Grove said one and the same, we need churches to stay open. Suicide, depression, child abuse, isolation, domestic violence, business closures. The church is needed and essential, especially in this honor. May God raise up his people, end quote. These are politicians that are saying we need to step up. They're not all corrupt, but we have some, those in the higher echelons that make the rules that don't abide by the rules. Are we just going to sit here and go, it's all good? It's unbelievable. the arrogance, what they think they can get away with. And here's the truth. They can get away with it as long as we let them get away with it. Hypocrisy. Greed. $350 for a plate of food? You ever? I'm not even going to get in on the big get-together over in Hawaii with eight California lawmakers staying at a place, minimum hotel, $500 a night. They flew out the day after Gavin Newsom said, you need to, in terms of travel, don't travel and everything else. Greed, selfishness, flat-out stupidity by the ruling class, if you ask me. What about willful deception? And how about masks? We'll talk about that next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. I'm getting some emails from people saying, well, what's your answer, Frank, in terms of Governor Newsom? My position is if you believe he has acted irresponsibly and has not owned up to it, we hold him accountable. All the way to what I support, sign the recall petition. Let's recall this man. He doesn't represent us. I don't know what more you need to see or hear, but that's one of many positions I hold. Now, when it comes to this idea of, well, here's two quick stories about this promotion that somehow nothing happened. I got some emails. Oh, you're just a sore loser. There's a new poll. Two-thirds of registered voters believe some type of voter fraud has occurred. But yet the media, here's the headline, media calls concerns about election integrity conspiracy theories. American voters disagree. I'm not going to get into the whole story, but I think there are a lot of people that say, not so sure. Let's see what happens here. And then here in California and all across the country, and even if Joe Biden becomes our next president, which I pray he does not, he's talking about mandatory mask wearing. How about masks? After listing his credentials, a Cambridge University-trained virologist spoke in a public forum against the extension of a mask mandate in one of Canada's largest cities, calling comprehensive lockdowns, masks, and other mitigation efforts against the coronavirus, quote, utterly unfounded public hysteria driven by the media and politicians, end quote. Dr. Roger Hodgkinson said this is just outrageous. Now, I can list his credentials if you'd like. That would probably take 3 minutes. In fact, this article says he began with a summary of his credentials to ensure that he would not be regarded as a, quote, quack. Hodgkinson warned that what he was about to say was a, in lay language and blunt, counter-narrative from what we hear. Quote, there is absolutely nothing that can be done to contain this virus other than protecting older, more vulnerable people, end quote. Now, before you freak out on that one, stay with me. He said it should be thought of as nothing other than a bad flu season. This is not Ebola. It's not SARS. The reaction to the coronavirus is politics playing medicine, and that is a very dangerous game. Even Dr. Anthony Fauci, published earlier this year in the New England Medical Journal of Medicine, said the case fatality rate, he predicted, would turn out to be, quote, like a severe seasonal influenza. Centers for Disease Control now estimate the survival rate from those infected with COVID-19, 99.997% for ages 0 to 19, 99.98% for 20 to 49, 99.5% for 50 to 69, and 94.6% from those that are 70 and older. Hodkinson says, quote, masks are utterly useless. There's no evidence base for their effectiveness whatsoever. Paper masks and fabric masks are simply virtue signaling. Masks are not even worn correctly most of the time. He says it's utterly ridiculous seeing people walking around like lemmings, obeying with any knowledge base to put the mask on their face. Now, for those of you that say, oh, you're way over the top here, here's some information. A new randomized controlled Danish study published this week in the Annals of Internal Medicine found that, quote, a recommendation to wear a surgical mask when outside the home, among others, did not reduce at conventional levels of statistical significance incident COVID-19 infection compared with no mask recommendations. Danish study said really no difference. In October, an analysis of a dozen graphs charting the number of COVID-19 cases in countries and U.S. states confirmed the conclusions of recent studies that mask mandates have no effect on the spread of the disease. Hodkinson even said every business and public place should be, quote, open immediately, as stated in the Great Barrington Declaration. What's that? You need to find out. It's a petition launched by Stanford, Harvard, and Oxford epidemiologists urging not restricting the healthy while protecting the vulnerable. Hodkinson also talked about testing. Quote, it's simply driving public hysteria. All the testing should stop unless you are presenting to the hospital with some respiratory symptoms. End quote. In August, the New York Times found an analysis of data that up to 90% of people testing positive for COVID-19 carried barely any of the virus. Yeah, there's degrees of the virus that you can have. Hodkinson said, quote, all that should be done from a public policy standpoint is to protect the vulnerable. He said, we should be giving everyone in nursing homes 3,000 to 5,000 units of vitamin D every day. It is shown to radically reduce the likelihood of infection. He pointed to the statistics by the province of Alberta, indicating the risk of death for people under 65 in the province is 1 in 300,000. Quote, 1 in 300,000. You've got to get a grip on this, he said. The scale of the response that you are undertaking with no evidence for it is utterly ridiculous, given the consequences of acting in a way that you're proposing. He pointed to all kinds of suicides, business closures, funerals, weddings. Quote, it's simply outrageous. The physician called for people to make their own decisions. And then he said, you should be totally out of the business of medicine. I'm absolutely outraged that this has reached this level. It should all stop immediately. And then he said, thank you very much, and left the podium. Making your own choice. Protect the vulnerable. I was at a store the other day. You obviously can't go in without a mask. I saw a baby, like, not even a year and a half old, had a mask on. I'm like, dear Lord, what are we doing? We're living in fear. That's what we're doing. So afraid of the virus. But I'm a Christian. I don't fear God, but I fear the virus. Hmm. 888-528-2557. By the way, the mayor of San Diego is speaking out against the governor, basically calling him out on his hypocrisy. Thank you, Mayor Faulkner. And again, others in positions in the government here in California. By the way, one last little zinger. I don't know if you've heard this tall tale. They supposedly got the server. You heard Sidney Powell say that Trump won in a landslide. Do you know they say he took California too? And you may go, well, there it is. Now we know they're completely out of touch. Maybe not. We don't know. We'll find out. This is the Frank Sontag Show.